Grab your bulletin. On the back of your bulletin, there's a place for you to take some notes. This way you'll remember more than 10% if you take notes and know how to apply it to your life. I mean, you made all the effort to be here this morning and might as well go home with something. Amen? We have finished our series on the Sermon on the Mount last week, and so as a pastor, that means I get to preach whatever I want, right? And that can be hard sometimes to figure out, because this is a pretty good book, isn't it? Amen. And where do I start? So there's different styles of preaching. There is what we typically do here, which, to be honest, when I became the pastor, didn't think I would be that type of preacher, because as 10 years of youth ministry, I never preached that way. But the Lord has really moved into that direction, and that's where we just take a book or a section of scripture and we just preach right through it, you know, verse by verse, section by section. The other type of preaching is a theme preaching, based upon a topic or based upon some theme. It may not be all the verses in the same book or in order. But hopefully, you know, ministers to you nonetheless, and different pastors have different styles and all that good stuff. And so the next few weeks and maybe even throughout the summer, we're going to be focused on some different themes and different topics of the Bible. And so what wasn't really planned on being a series, because I know everybody makes fun of the pastor because the pastor always has to have a series, right? One part, two part, three part series. I wasn't going to do that, but we're the beginning of a three-part series this morning as the Lord led in prayer and different things. So, but our theme, our topic today and next week and the week after is about the heart. I want to talk to you this morning about your heart and your heart condition. And so because this is a series, it builds. And so you might leave today feeling like, well, he should have said this or this should have taken place. Well, don't pass any judgment or any opinion upon the series until the series is over. And so this morning, I would ask all of us to become very vulnerable. And that's a word that we don't like to do. It's an action we typically don't like to do, because when we're vulnerable, then that means the yuck becomes known. And so to ease your nervousness a little bit, the vulnerability I'm asking you to have is between you and God. We're not going to pass the microphone around and ask you to share, you know, to be real vulnerable and share your deepest, darkest. But here's what I believe why I believe God is leading us to talk about this next few weeks. And that is because even as Christians, our hearts are wounded. Our hearts have corners that are maybe dark, that have been unkept. We have places in our heart that we have not allowed the Lord with his Holy Spirit to come and to bring healing and to bring life. And so today and the next 2 weeks, I wanted to talk about that. And I really believe that if you will be vulnerable to the Lord in the service times, and if you'll be here the next 2 weeks and think about and meditate on the sermon throughout the week as the Holy Spirit would lead you, that in 3 weeks, I believe you'll be in a very fresh place in your life, and maybe in a place that you haven't been at in a very long time or never have been at, because of that one or two areas of your heart that has not been able to be free to experience life. Fair enough? So let's just pray and ask the Lord to come and prepare our hearts, and then we'll get after it this morning. Father, we do just take a moment to make a decision to be vulnerable to your Holy Spirit, sustaining God, and we come to you this morning in need of that very life. So for the Christian in the room this morning, to those that haven't given their life to you, would you come and minister to our hearts? Would you come and search our hearts? Would you come and bring with you some encouragement that's needed, the forgiveness that's needed, Lord, as we are vulnerable to you and ask you to move in our life. Prepare our hearts, speak to us over these next few weeks. And the church said, amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Because one area, we'll kind of bounce around to different places throughout the scripture. If you were to do a theme study in your own personal walk, in your own personal devotional time, you could grab a concordance or just look at a word and say, well, what does the word grace mean? And you know, when is the first time in the Bible it's used? When's the last time it was used? Who used it? How did they use different meanings of that word in the Greek? The Greek language is very, very detailed compared to our English language, which is not as detailed. And so you, when you go back to the Greek and you can read and understand, this is the what this word means. And it will help you to grow. Our theme being the heart, looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. You may know this chapter, you may not. Samuel is the prophet of God. He was born to his mother who couldn't have children. God blessed her and heard her prayer when she has a boy, and she dedicates him to the Lord, presents him to the temple when he's weaned, and he serves the Lord. And she would go once a year to the temple when it was time to bring the sacrifice and offering, and she would see her son. And he grew in stature in the Lord, and God's anointing was on him. God's spirit was upon him. Well, we had the kings and the prophets, and Israel had their first king, Saul, and Samuel anointed that first king. And there's a powerful verse in 1 Samuel when Israel's like, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And Samuel goes to God and says, what are they doing? And God says, they're not a sad verse in the Bible. Samuel anoints Saul. He becomes king. He rules and reigns. He does something he's not supposed to do, and that's he offers a sacrifice to the Lord. That's not his role as a king. That's the role of the priest. And because of that, and his rebellion against the kingdom from his hand. Well, God is looking for a new king. He's looking for somebody who will be the king of Israel. And this is very powerful. I want you to understand this. Israel rejected God as their king. Many way today, people reject God to be their Lord and power. We reject all that comes with his kingdom. That's what Israel did. And since they rejected God, God says, I'm going to give to you a king that will rule like I will rule. In other words, he says, I'm looking for somebody who's after my own heart. The way he becomes king is Samuel is told by God to go to Jesse, and within his sons, one of those sons is going to be the next king. Samuel kind of freaks out and says, well, God, if I go and anoint another person as king, Saul is going to kill me. But God's pretty clever, amen? God says, well, here you go. Here's the way around the king. Take a sacrifice with you. Tell the king you're going to go have a sacrifice. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice. And when he's there, then you tell him to bring his sons, and I will show you which one of Jesse's sons is going to be king. So Samuel says, okay. So Samuel, he does that. Think about that conversation that Samuel had with Jesse. Hey, guess what? God told me. Samuel was very respected as a prophet. In fact, when he shows up, people are asking, are you coming in peace or are you bringing in judgment of the Lord? He was very, that position, the office of a prophet with Samuel, because he honored the Lord, was a highly respected office. And Samuel shows up and he goes to Jesse. He looks at him in the eyes. I'm paraphrasing this. And he says, one of your sons is going to be king. Wow. One of my sons is going to be king. Yes, that means I get to be in the palace. That's right. So he has his sons come before Samuel. And Samuel is going to wait upon the Lord. He's going to stand in front of each one of his sons. And he's going to listen for God to tell him, as the prophet is the mouthpiece of the Lord, if this is the son. And so as the sons are coming in, The oldest son comes in and Samuel says, surely God has chosen this man because of his outward appearance. Because he was the oldest, he was strong, he was tall, he had on his Sunday best. And the outward image was, this is the man. But let's look at verse 7, 1 Samuel 16, at what God tells Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We as people typically will make decisions based upon what we see, based upon an image. And businesses, corporations understand this. Businesses will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in research and in development on a package. This morning's title is Peaches and Cream. If you're hungry this morning, I'm sorry. We're going to talk about oatmeal. Quaker spent a large amount of money to design this box and the right colors. They researched what buzzwords should they use. So they used heart healthy. Oh, this is good for your heart. We should get that. They researched to develop and find out which color would your eye be drawn to as it's on the shelf next to multiple brands and products. And the reason why they do that isn't because they care about your heart. It's because they want your money. Amen? And they know, I actually did a study or read a study on grocery store marketing, but they understand that when you're walking down the aisle at the grocery store, that they only have seconds to grab your eye to their box. So I don't know if this one works for you or not. As you're walking down the aisle and you, ooh, Quaker, ooh, peaches and cream, ooh, heart healthy, let's get it and go. That's about how long it takes for us to make a decision. Unless you're like some people who pull it off and read, you know. It takes you 3 hours to get to the grocery store because you want to read every little product and everybody else is like, just grab one, let's go, who cares, you know. But they spend tons of money because they want your money. And they know that if their image looks good, then you'll buy it or be more likely to buy it. Years ago, there was a commercial with Andre Agassi, the tennis player for Canon, the, you know, camera. And he, at the end of that commercial, he's standing there with his nice suit and his sunglasses on and his long flowing hair. And he lowers his sunglasses. He says, image is everything. I don't know if you remember that commercial or not. It's actually kind of funny because if you don't know Andre Agassi from back years ago, he wore hair extensions because he was balding. And we don't have a problem with balding, do we? But if you remember Andre Agassi in the back in the day, he had their long flowing hair extensions that he would wear because image is everything. I have to look good when I'm out there playing tennis. And so my long flowing hair, well, eventually he came out and took off the extensions and he looked like me, you know, he's just completely bald. Image is everything. And that becomes our culture. Culture has an image, does it not? And if you fit the image, you become successful in the eyes of the world. You become popular only until the next greatest thing comes along, right? So the next great image. And as I'm starting to get older, I turn 40 next year. Excuse me. But I know I'm getting older because my kids are getting older and I'm starting to see a change in the fads and fashions and stuff. And the running joke in our house is that when I was a kid, it was cool to, when you wore shorts, you would, you know, they had those crew high socks, and you would push them down to the top of your socks. Thank you. A few of you out there remember this. And you couldn't just push them down. You had to like layer them down. That was the cool thing. You were old and uncool if you wore black socks pulled up with shorts. Like, oh my goodness, you would never do that. Until today. Because today, all the youth wear shorts with black socks pulled up. And I just die laughing. I think it's the funniest thing. Image is everything, according to the world. Image is everything, even when we try to protect ourselves. We put on an image that everything's fine. This morning I pulled out my tie and I found my suit coat, and on the outside, I can be looking like it's all together, but inside, my heart could be breaking. My heart could be aching. And I think the Lord is asking us to just let Him come into the heart of hearts, to move past the image and say, God, I try to keep it together on the outside, but inside, I'm just hurting. And I just need you. The first son is not the one who becomes king. And in fact, all the sons go before Samuel. And God didn't tell Samuel to say yes to any of those guys. Imagine, have you ever been there? Where, you know, God's trying, you know, God's using you. You're doing some ministry. You're praying for somebody. And all of a sudden, you're just like, okay, we've gone through all the, did God tell me to come here? Are you the right Jesse? And he's like, well, do you have any other sons? I was like, well, we got one, but he's out, you know, taking care of the sheep. Samuel says, well, bring him in. We're not sitting down until he gets here. So they bring him in. Think about that conversation. Hey, David, what's that? Well, the prophet's here, and one of your dad's sons, one of your brothers is going to be king, but none of them, he didn't anoint any of them. And now he wants to talk to you. So David comes in, and as soon as Samuel sees him, God speaks to him and says, he's the one. Now the Bible says that David was handsome. He had a good stature. So image isn't bad. But the Lord looks at our heart. He looks at our hearts. And he saw David's heart, and he said, here's the one that will be king. He's the one that I've chosen, because his heart is right. So this morning, what are you investing your time in? Where is your attention going? Is it going to your image at work? Is it going to your image within your family? Is it going with your image and with your spouse or your children? Or even to the Lord, or even at church? Or is it going to taking care of the heart issues, where the heart condition is? Where maybe there's some hurts and bitterness. Maybe there's some unrepentance in the heart. Maybe there's those things in your heart that you've tried to cover up by looking good on the outside, but inside you're hurt and you're broken, and you're discouraged. Whenever we pursue the image as the solution, we find ourselves wrestling with many problems and many snares along the way. The things that keep us from allowing the root issue of the heart to be resolved, because now we're dealing with people's opinions. If I'm dressing in a way to have a good image to impress you, then you now become my focus and not the Lord. And once your opinion changes of what's cool or not cool, then now I'm no longer within the acceptable image of culture. Just like with those socks. You know why the sock companies did that? Because they want your money. So now let's make black socks and let's put some cool colors on the side of them so that way they have to pull them up so everybody can see the cool colors. And let's charge $80 for a pair of socks and let's be cool. You put those socks on a few athletes, maybe a few movie stars, and then they try to convince you that you need that, right? And the next thing we know, we're all walking around with our socks pulled up high. And if you don't believe me, there they are. These will be on sale later. If anybody wants to follow the image. What about the heart condition? Who cares what your socks looks like? Who cares how good it looks on the outside? Who cares what your house looks like, your car looks like, your boat looks like, your jet ski looks like? What about your heart? What about your heart? Josh is going to help me out with this. There's a microphone right over there. Josh is going to read to us the ingredients of peaches and cream. So let's just listen closely, if you would.
Whole grain, whole oats, sugar, creaming agent, corn syrup solids, coconut oil, potassium ketamine, dipotassium phosphate, titanium dioxide, mono and diglycerides, turmeric, and annatto, extracts for color, artificial flavor. Flavored fruit pieces,
very good. Thank you, Joshua. Is anything missing in peaches and cream? Yeah, Michael? Peaches and cream. Very good. Thank you, Josh. Peaches and cream are not in peaches and cream oatmeal. It's dried apple. And it doesn't matter if by the name brand's the same ingredients. There are no peaches and cream oatmeal. There are, in fact, any of the oatmeals you look at, I discovered this years ago, any oatmeal you look at, no matter what the fruit is, it's always dried apple with artificial flavoring. Nothing of what he just said sounded heart healthy to me. But the image looks good. So we get it. But inside, doesn't matter what you do with the package, doesn't matter how much money you spend, no matter what colors you put on there or what logo you use, it doesn't change what's inside of the box. And friend, no matter what we do on the outside, no matter how hard we try to cover up, it doesn't change what's going on inside of our heart. And the good thing for us is we serve a God who is more concerned about your heart condition than he is about your outward appearance. He's more concerned about your heart health than he is about your image health. God, the God that we serve, says, I examine the heart. I look at the heart. And I believe the heart of God longs to minister to your heart. If only we would let him. So actually kind of comical if you think about it, how we try to put it on an image for God when God is the one that looks at our heart. But God, I'm wearing my tie today. I know, Jason, but look at your heart. But God, I've got the black socks on. I know, but look at your heart. Jesus talked a lot about this when he was dealing with the Pharisees. He said, the outside of your cup is clean, but the inside is dirty. He said, your lips praise me, but your heart is far from me. We see this throughout Scripture where people try to put on an image, but inside they're hurting. Somebody asks you, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. That's image. You're not doing fine. What's going on in the heart? Where are you at this morning? In Luke chapter 16, you can write this down, Luke 16 verses 14 and 15. Jesus just got done talking about serving two masters, and he says, the Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of others, But God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. So the things that we say, this is important, God says that's not important. What's important is your heart condition. It says you are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. In Acts chapter 1, verse 23, Acts 1, verse 23. So this is when they're trying to find a replacement for Judas. You know, Judas betrayed Jesus, and so now the disciples are trying to find a replacement, somebody to fill his spot. And so they're asking the Lord. They brought two men, basically, and Acts chapter 1, verse 23. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed. Listen to their prayer. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. And they cast the lots, and lots fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. It is God that knows your heart. It is God that searches the heart of men. It is God that judges the heart. It is, if you remember, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I don't know this morning that the emphasis of this message is about that God knows your secret sin, though he does, and how foolish are we to try to cover our sin, especially before the God that will hold us accountable to those things. But I think God is speaking more to us as Christians whose hearts are just hurting. The hearts that are hurting. The piece of your heart that's been aching. An issue that has been unresolved. Because you've tried to put on an image to your family or friends. Instead of letting God come and bring with him the healing that only he can bring and actually resolve those hurts, and you can be free. You see, it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. There's no peaches in peaches and cream. You can act like the heart's okay by looking good on the outside or doing your best to mask around and those things, but let's allow God to deal with the heart. In Psalms 51, David has been king. He's getting towards the end of his reign, and he sins against the Lord. He's supposed to go out to war, which was his first mistake. He didn't do that. He stayed back. He sees a woman bathing, and as the king, he's like, I'll take her. He brings her in, has sex with her. She becomes pregnant. David tries to cover his tracks. He kills her husband, and he marries Bathsheba. The prophet comes to him and reveals his heart. David's prayer is Psalm 51. It's a song. It's a prayer of repentance. Listen to what he says in verse 10. He says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Return back to me the joy that I once had. The sin has stolen my joy. The sin has kept me from experiencing the joy that I once had with you. This morning, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Is there joy about being a Christian? Is there joy about coming to church? Is there joy about spending time in the Word and experiencing all that God has for you? I believe some of us this morning, maybe even all of us this morning, need to pray this prayer. God, create in me a pure heart. the place of bitterness in your heart, that little corner over there that you usually don't get to very often, but it's painful there. And so you just kind of stay away from it. No, let's let God come in and do what he does best as he looks at our hearts, getting beyond the image, getting beyond the outward appearance, getting beyond trying to tell everybody everything's fine when deep down inside we're hurting. And we see this all the time, do we not? Whenever a big tragedy takes place, even like this one this last week, people who know those people that do these horrific things say, well, they never really seem like that type of person. Right? The image looked fine. They fit within the culture. They were accepted by their image. They didn't really seem like that type of person that would do such a thing. Well, why would they do such a thing? Because their hearts are broken. Their hearts are hurting. And maybe some of us this morning, on the outside, we do our best to just go through the routine, just go through the motions, but yet our hearts are aching, and we need something. We've tried to resolve it through appearance. We try to resolve it through things of this world, and it hasn't worked. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 gives us a great warning about our hearts. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. You can't fix your own heart, friend. I can't fix my heart. No matter how hard I try, we can't fix it. There is a solution, and we're going to talk about that solution next week. But this morning, I want us to take a moment to examine our hearts. To examine our hearts. And not in a condemning way, but simply ask this. Have you been trying to make the packaging look good when inside the heart is hurting? Because the only people that you're fooling are the people that are just passing by. But when you take a moment and you stop and you read the ingredients, or you're in a relationship with a friend or a spouse, they begin to see, hey, wait a minute. There's no peaches in here. As you become vulnerable to people, vulnerable to your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they, wait a minute. This doesn't add up. Is everything okay? Oh yeah, everything's fine. Look, it's heart healthy. It's good. Everything's good. I'm okay. Really? I think something's missing. That's when we go before the Lord and we ask the Lord to do what he does. And that's minister to our heart and give us that pure heart and to bring healing. I'm going to ask for Mike and Dorothy if you guys would come up. And we're just going to close this morning with spending some time with the Lord in prayer. Again, being vulnerable, if you will, this morning. I don't believe that God gives me direction just to give me sermons to preach to fill a time slot. I believe God moves upon my heart and leads me because they're messages that we all need to hear. And there's application to this. Will you be vulnerable enough this morning to allow God to go beyond the package and examine your heart, which he says he already does? One of the cool things about God is that he's never surprised by what we tell him. He's never surprised about your weakness. He's never surprised about a part of your heart that's hurting. It's not like he says, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me, Jason. What a relief it is to know that we serve a God who in his infinite wisdom, who's the only one that searches the heart, still says, come to me, come to me, come to me. Even that, even while we were still sinners, the Bible says, amen? When our hearts were purely wicked against God, he still died for us. God doesn't search our hearts this morning, church and Christian, to embarrass you or to make you feel bad or to bring guilt. No, those are the things of the enemy. Because the word of God tells us there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And so this morning we can, and I trust that you will, take down that image between you and God this morning and say, God, you know my hurt. You know my pain. Will you come and minister to me? And if the God that we proclaim is alive and well today, the God that we say brings life and sustains life, if that's really the case, then why would he not come this morning and mend your broken heart and bring forgiveness in those areas that maybe you need to repent, those areas that you're hiding from everybody else? Church, you can leave here today free. You can leave here today free in your heart of hearts with the joy of your salvation being restored back to you as those little places where the pain is at in your heart. Will you allow God to do that this morning? As they play and sing, Mike, whatever the Lord leads you in, just wherever you're at this morning, you don't need to come forward. This is a vulnerable time. And if you will be vulnerable to the Lord, allow his Holy Spirit to come and to gently put his hand upon your heart. And as things come to your mind, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. If there's sin issues or whatever, just confess those before God. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. God will do that renewing work in your life. If you have a hurt or a pain in your life, the Holy Spirit will come. If you will allow him this morning, even right now, he will come and he will bring healing to your heart, because that's what he does. He's a restorer. He will take away that pain. He will heal that pain. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come with power this morning and to do what only you can do, and that's minister to our hearts. May we, each of us as individuals, be vulnerable before you this morning. May we look beyond just the image. And Lord, we've tried so hard to put on a show for people, maybe for our spouse or our parents or our children or our workers or our friends, our employer at work. Lord, whatever it might be, God, that we have tried hard to fit and to seem okay, but inside, Lord, our hearts are hurting. Our hearts are broken. And we need you this morning to come and to move with power and might. Just stay in an attitude of worship, stay in an attitude of prayer this morning. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the move of God. The Word of God tells you, do not resist when you hear him speaking, as your forefathers did. Do not be stiff-necked this morning. Do not be hard-hearted. Do not let your heart become callous, as Jesus described the Pharisees. Let your heart be soft this morning. Let your Heavenly Father come and minister to you. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, this morning we just close with this song. Lord, we close, Lord, this part of the service, Lord, but we ask you to come with power and might. Lord, may this week we live in a state of allowing you to examine our hearts. Lord, may we not be so consumed by the image, but instead be concerned about the heart. Lord, where's my heart at? God, come and search my heart. Search my motives, Lord. Examine me this morning. For God, I want to be a person after your own heart. I want to be a person that is consumed by you in every part of me. So Lord, as we sing this song, and Lord, those that have called to you this morning, God, show yourself strong. And this week, Lord, may we just continue to be vulnerable to you, allowing you to search our hearts. In Jesus' name. As we sing this song, if you need prayer, come forward. Find a place to pray. Spend time with your God. If not, after the song's gone, you may consider yourself dismissed. Please leave quietly as those that are up here praying. And God bless you as you go.